Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, he's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts.
Aww.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. Yes, it's me. It's your beloved talk show host. It's Jim Blasingame. I sound a little different today because of a little bit of a hoarse voice. I guess you could say I've got a form of laryngitis. I guess you could say that. It's not, my voice is not gone, but I just don't have the volume that I usually do. I sound a little bit different. The main thing you need to know is two things. Number one is it doesn't hurt. So even if it sounds like it hurts, it doesn't hurt. So stay with me on that one. Number two, whenever you've heard me over the last 12 and a half years talk about persevering, about what you got to do just to be successful, to show up every day, no matter what, then at least today you know, if you didn't know it before, at least today you know that I put my money where my mouth is. And somebody else who knows all about that is our good buddy Rod Kurtz, who's back with us today. He's here with us with something new to talk about, but also he's got a new gig he's going to tell us about. Rod Kurtz, welcome back to the show.
It's great to be with you, Jim, and hope you're feeling all right. You're too humble to admit it, but you really are a true advocate. Nothing holds you back.
Well, I appreciate that. No, I'm not actually, it hurts absolutely not at all. It's just, you know, kind of one of those things. Rod, I want to congratulate you on a new gig. Tell the audience about what you're doing these days.
Absolutely. Well, I'm the newly minted executive editor of AOL Small Business. Just came over in January from Inc. Magazine, of course, where most people know me. And it's been great so far. Just a really great new opportunity. I can't tip my hand too much, but we've got an exciting new project for entrepreneurs and development that you'll be hearing a lot about in the next couple months, and it's really just been a great experience. I was telling you during the commercial, it feels almost entrepreneurial. Got a great company with AOL, a lot of energy, and they've given me this blank canvas to put things in motion. So it's been great so far.
Well, we're looking forward to hearing as you move through the development of your new gig. We're looking forward to getting you back on the show and hearing about how things are going. I know one of the main things you want to talk about today is a disaster plan. You know, we've had a lot of news, a lot of emphasis recently on earthquakes, the Haitian earthquake, the Chilean earthquake. I saw the other day, I guess it was yesterday, I saw a graphic that showed the hot zones in basically across North America, and I think people would be surprised at how many hot zones there are across North America, not just out in California. And you know, we have a lot of dangerous weather in the United States sometimes, and so I know that you want to talk about being prepared for some of those things.
Yeah, absolutely. We assigned a story recently on this, and you can find it at smallbusiness.aol.com. But basically, we saw in the news in early February, this was actually a terrorism-related thing, that the head of the CIA, they had said that they were certain that another terrorist attack was coming, I think, in the next 6 months or so. So we were sort of looking at that as the news angle. And, of course, we've had these devastating earthquakes since, and, of course, some really crazy weather up and down the East Coast with all the snow, and we thought it was an important time to revisit disaster planning as a topic, because it really is an important thing for businesses. You know, you see things like 9/11, Hurricane Katrina, and in the aftermath, there's a lot of talk about, I got to have a disaster plan for my business, but the reality is most people don't follow through with it, and it's when things are stable and calm when it's really the best time to revisit that, because if a disaster strikes and you start planning then, it's already too late.
Well, you know, one of the things, the people I think who are the most successful with their disaster plans, the ones that I've seen over the years, have been the ones who have their disaster plan wasn't just about how their business could survive and recover, but how did it serve its customers during those times that the bad weather or whatever may happen? How do they serve those customers who may be going through the same thing they're going through?
Absolutely. And I think that the reality is you can't plan for everything. I think that's probably something that holds people up from starting a plan in the first place. They say, you know, I don't know how I'm going to deal with terrorism, with an earthquake, this and that. And I think the important takeaway is that you have to be prepared almost for a generic disaster. That's something you don't know what it might be. You don't know when it's going to strike, but something might shut down your company. And I think you're hitting on a very important point that you have to be able to communicate. You have to be able to communicate with your employees. You have to be able to communicate with your customers. And again, we don't necessarily have to be talking about an epic catastrophe.
Right.
We saw that these blizzards up and down the East Coast that were shutting down companies for 2, 3, 4 days at a time.
Right.
You know, that can pose a hit to your company that is not devastating, but it can certainly hit your bottom line.
Hold on to that thought, Rob. We're going to take a quick break, folks. It's 20 till. Rod Kurtz, our guest. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'm your host. I'll be right back. Little Dan Fogelberg bringing us back. One of my favorites, the late, great Dan Fogelberg. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'm the guy I got about a 60% case of laryngitis, but it doesn't hurt, so don't worry about that. We're going to continue to march. The show must go on. You open your doors every day. I open my doors every day, no matter what, right? That's what we do. We're a small business. One thing about it, and Rod Kurtz knows all about this, when you're a small business owner, you show up. And that's what, as you know, Woody Allen said that 80% of life is just showing up. And a small business, it's sometimes 100%. Rod is, by the way, folks, is the new, brand spanking new executive editor of AOL Small Business Division. And again, Rod, congratulations on that. And by the way, folks, Rod's been on our show many times before over the years, and you can find the body of work he's done with us on my website, smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check that out when you get a chance. And if you're on Twitter and you want to follow me there, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Rod, we're talking about the... Oh, by the way, what's going to be your website?
What's that?
What's going to be your website?
I can't quite reveal that yet. It's in development.
Come
but,
on,
you mentioned,
Rod.
You
come
mentioned
on,
Twitter.
Come
if the people
on.
If the people follow me, they'll be the first to know. So I'm just at Rod Kurtz.
You can't.
I can't. It's like a poker game. I can't tip my hand. But
you can't hold out on me, Rod. Come on.
I can tell you, it's going to be very exciting. And I was joking with you. It feels almost entrepreneurial to be starting this great new project with just a lot of smart people at AOL. So in the meantime, it's AOL Small Business. You can check us out there.
All right. Now, give us that Twitter address again.
Sure. It's just at Rod Kurtz, R-O-D-A-U-R-T-Z.
So, and, folks, if you follow Rod there, you can. I'm sure you'll be announcing the new location, the new URL when it comes up.
You will get the breaking news tweet.
Yeah, exactly. And or listen to me. I'm sure Rod will give me a give me about a 30-minute advance notice, Rod. What do you think?
Absolutely. Well, you know, you're a friend of the cause, and we'll be happy to let you know. And I'll be calling on you early and often for your input, of course.
Let me know what I can do. You know, folks, Rod and I are talking about a disaster plan. You know, Rod, I'm glad you brought up the communication thing. This is yet another reason why small business owners must be collecting contact information from people who come in their doors. If they buy something from you, if they're an old customer, if you've never seen them before, ask them how you can contact them. Ask them if they will allow you to connect with them. Get an email address, get a Twitter address, get a Facebook address, get a street address, get a phone number. Find out where their carrier pigeons land. I don't care. Make sure that you find out how to connect with them. Because, you know, Rod, it might not be a disaster. It might be something internal in the company that you need to know about. I had a good friend of mine, member of my brain trust, dropped dead last week. And the company was able to let everybody who cared about this guy know about it quickly.
And it's interesting. Go ahead, Jim. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, you talk about opening up these lines of communication, and, you know, a lot of people joke about Twitter. There's a lot of frivolous stuff out there, but it's probably the most easy way to communicate with a wide audience. I mean, you can literally send a text message from your phone, and anyone in the world, you know, who's close to a computer, if they know where to look, they can find that information. So I think it can be as simple as that. You can have sort of an elaborate plan, but I wouldn't let your concerns about making sure you have a comprehensive plan prevent you from doing something simple that allows you to have that line of communication.
Right. So part of a disaster plan is having a system set up where you can communicate with your stakeholders. Your stakeholders are the people, not only your internal people, but external people who care about you, vendors and customers, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, and, you have these constituencies that you
right.
serve.
What are some other things that we need to be paying attention to?
Well, you know, a simple one is making sure you have some money set aside. I know it's tough, especially tough these days, but it could be a line of credit. It could be just some cash in reserve. But, you know, they always say that a person should have, I think it's 3 or 6 months of rent and expenses saved up in case you lose your job or something like that. It's really no different for a small business. So I think that's, of course, an important point as technology becomes increasingly important in companies. You know, you got to have your stuff backed up. I know I'm lazy about it with my personal computer, but you really can't afford to be doing that when you're a business owner. You know, you have to look at really what your weaknesses are as a company. You know, if you have a gourmet food store, you know, it's protecting your stock and making sure you're able to restock if something happens to that, if you have spoilage because of a power failure or something
right.
like that. So depending on what type of business you are, you got to really zero in on, you know, what would be a devastating blow to my company, and how do I steer around that?
I want to come back to the money thing. Folks, one of the ways you can hedge the money issue is just have a good banking relationship. I mean, you know, obviously you want to have some reserves, but you can hedge that a little bit by just having a good relationship with a banker who knows what you're doing, what you're up to. That's one thing. And the other thing, you were talking about the loss of food if you're in the restaurant business or whatever. A lot of people have generators. I mean, these are real things to have in the case of a backup. I talked to a guy in what D.C. the other day. And he said his family was all over him because he didn't have any kind of a generator. His daughter was unhappy because she couldn't charge up her cell phone.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I was here in New York City during the great blackout of, I think it was 2003, and you had,
right.
you know, store owners that were giving away beer and ice cream. You know, imagine that, New York City,
right.
giving away beer. But,
right.
you know, that shows you it can be something totally unexpected like that blackout, which has certainly happened before. Again, you know, all these businesses were able to recover, but if you take a hit for even just a few days, especially coming off a recession like we've just had, it can really hurt your company.
Absolutely. We're going to talk some more about some other things for you to pay attention to in your disaster recovery plan for your small business. Tintel, Rod Kurtz is our guest. I'm Jim Blassingame. We'll be right back.
One can tell.
Little Steely Dan bringing us back. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you, even though my voice is a little bit off today. We're going to continue to march, though the show goes on. Rod Kurtz is our guest. He's our good friend, a longtime Brain Trust member, the executive director, executive editor, brand spanking new executive editor of AOL Small Business Group there. And he's going to be giving us more news on that assignment as the year unfolds. You can find him, Rod, on Twitter at Rod Kurtz. Rod, we're talking about the disaster preparedness week. Plan. Rod, one of the things that could be a disaster is if you just lose a hard drive.
Yeah, it depends on what you have on that hard drive. But yeah, something as small as that, losing key information, you know, as technology has made business so much easier, but it also, we're sort of slaves to the technology at this point. So if something as small as that goes down, you got a big problem on your hands.
Well, and, you know, there's more. We went for years here. We used a half a dozen different backup modes until we finally started using a cloud service, a backup service in the clouds.
Yeah, you're seeing services like Mozy and others that are a great way to sort of back stuff up online. You know, personally, I I increasingly use something as simple as Google Documents.
Yeah.
And, you know, saving your documents there. I'm relatively confident Google's not going down anytime soon.
We use Carbonite here.
Yep.
We like it pretty well. We know those guys over there. Folks, this is all part of it. And what do you think, Rod? Should you make a checklist of things that could go bump in the night, and what would happen? You know, just maybe identify. Okay, if we had a storm, if we had a fire, if we had a flood, if we had, you know, it was a robbery or whatever it might be. Identify the possibilities and then come up and then say, okay, where would we be if these happened?
Yeah, I think that's really the first step. You know, the way we sort of ended the story by one of our great writers, Jeff Williams, is to just make sure you have a plan, whatever it is. You know, any kind of plan, even if it's not super comprehensive, is better than having no plan. And
right.
One of the things I always admire about entrepreneurs is simply the act of getting out there and doing it. You know, most people sit at their kitchen table with a million ideas and never actually act on it. Same kind of thing applies here, that just make this plan and follow through with it. So, again, you don't have to come up with every scenario under the sun. You really just have to zero in on, okay, what are my weaknesses as a company? What would shut me down? You know, whatever it may be, and how do I prevent that?
Right.
How do I work around that if something happened? It's not pleasant to talk about. It's like making a will. No one wants to do it, but you really need one.
Right. And, you know, another thing you can do is if a lot of people don't think about this, but you can buy business interruption insurance, as you know. But the problem with business interruption insurance is most people don't read the fine print. And business interruption insurance has a lot of fine print. And I had business interruption insurance once in another business, and we had an interruption of business. And I thought it was going to write me a check. This was a long time ago. I thought it was going to, you know, pay me. I didn't know exactly how, but I thought I had a certain amount of money coming from them. And it turns out that there was some fine print in there that I didn't quite qualify for.
Well, and the other problem with relying solely on insurance like that is that, okay, so your business has been wiped out. You know, you get a nice settlement check from the insurance company, best case scenario, but your business is destroyed, and
right.
You can't necessarily bring back those customers. So
that's
even
right.
With sort of a safety net, you have to be able to continue as a company, because eventually the insurance check is going to run out.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mentioned customers in the earlier part. I love the story about the lumber company in Florida after the hurricanes came through, and when the families were trying to get their homes covered up, he just said, come get the plywood, and he just started giving plywood away to, you know, for people who maybe couldn't afford it, or they were just trying to, you know, they didn't have any time to waste to get their homes boarded up. He just started giving plywood away. Now, that was a very expensive proposition, but he became part of the solution, and I bet you he's got a good business right now.
Yeah, and that's the best entrepreneurs are the ones who, even in the face of adversity, can identify some long-term opportunity like that, and also a way to help their communities. And that, you know, raises another point that, you know, you want to look at potential partners that, you know, companies that you work with, and say, you know, okay, if such and such were to happen, you know, could we lean on each other?
I think,
you know, companies are very willing to work together if they have a good kind of ongoing relationship, and, you know, it doesn't hurt to enlist them in your disaster plan.
Another good idea. Rod Kurtz, the new executive editor for AOL Small Business. Rod, when you have some news, hope you come back real soon.
Absolutely, Jim. Thanks so much, as always.
Thanks for being here. Rod Kurtz, ladies and gentlemen, KURTZ. That's how you spell his last name if you're Googling him. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll be back after the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.